Air overhaul. Let's go live to Washington. CBS's Barry Bagnato.
High court cases don't have closing arguments, but government lawyer Donald Verrilli delivered one as the historic session wrapped up, urging the justices to uphold the entire health care law, including its controversial requirement that all Americans buy insurance or pay a penalty. Attorney Paul Clement argued if that mandate is thrown out, the whole law collapses.
The provisions that have constitutional difficulties are the very heart of this act.
Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg suggested it'd be best to let Congress take what's left and try to fix it.
It's a choice between a wrecking operation, which is what you are requesting, or a salvage job.
Live in Washington, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
Residents of 900 homes in Conifer, Colorado have been told to get out of the way. The wildfire is close. Up to 25 homes already are gone.
We're going to try to take a bite out of this fire, start to get a line around it, get some level of containment.
Sheriff spokeswoman Jackie Kelly, high winds sparked by a prescribed burn designed to starve the big wildfire, they think is what started it. Now the governor says he's considering an order not to try back blazes. Medical researchers say a new compound may offer longer life for patients with invasive brain tumors. Dr. Ravi Belamkanda at Georgia Tech.
Once you stop the tumor spread, when you treat it with existing chemotherapeutic drug, we had very, very good results.
The new compound slows the tumor down so the chemo drugs can kill it. Vermont State Police have arrested two people in the killing of a prep school teacher, Melissa Jenkins. Police Major Edward Leto.
It was determined by the chief medical examiner, Dr. Stephen Shapiro, that the cause of Ms. Jenkins' death was the result of strangulation.
Police investigators say the suspects, Alan and Patricia Prue, knew the victim from doing snow plowing work on her driveway. Her SUV was found idling on a remote road, her two-year-old safely inside. Another case in the headlines of alleged hazing at Florida A&M University, though it won't go anywhere except the headlines.
Tallahassee police say the alleged incident happened at the home of a Florida A&M professor with two faculty members, several band members involved. They've dropped charges because it went unreported for 2 years, and they couldn't prove it happened within the statute of limitations. The police report says several witnesses confirmed band members were slapped on the back or neck. At least one student said he was badly bruised but didn't want to prosecute. This report comes more than 4 months after drum major Robert Champion died in an alleged hazing incident here. No charges have been filed yet in that case. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Wall Street, the Dow's down 94 points, NASDAQ's off 22. Major League Baseball opened today in Japan. Seattle Mariners and Oakland Athletics open the season in Tokyo, and Ichiro Suzuki, big hero back home, got hits. Mariners 3, A's 1. This is CBS News.
To Jack, the new guy looked like an unmade bed. Slacks with no crease, shoes scuffed, hair messy. The guy's shirt style was perfect for 10 years ago. Yet other than his rumpled appearance, the new guy looked to be on the fast track. The bosses gave him one plum assignment after another. This confused Jack, and he challenged the manager. It's simple, the boss said. This guy's work is outstanding. Best on the team. You can help someone look good. It's hard to find someone who is good. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. It's true that looks matter, but our ultimate goal is performance. Appearances can deceive, but excellence never will in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
Pope Benedict has wrapped up his meeting with Fidel Castro after calling for greater religious freedom in Cuba and exhorting Cubans to search for authentic freedom.
Cubans were given a day off at Revolution Square to hear Pope Benedict offer Mass. Organizers announced instructions before the religious ceremony began. No clapping and no flag waving while the Pope is praying. Prior to his arrival, youth groups wearing Benedict t-shirts shouted peppy slogans. Others sat on the hot pavement holding colorful umbrellas. Donning a purple robe, the 84-year-old pontiff smiled and waved at the conclusion of the service. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Havana.
Older folks are in such good shape these days, they're losing their special senior discount at Purgatory Ski Resort in Durango, Colorado. The Silver Pass that started at age 62 is no more, neither is the Golden Pass for skiers 70 and older. Only the Senior Pass for 65 to 69 lasts, and it costs money. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HT Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HT Faces. Try it free today.
Nutritionists and scientists agree that blueberries have amazing antioxidant properties, but eating blueberries alone won't get you all the health benefits you need. That's why I created Blue Science, a revolutionary line of nutritional supplements combining the best of blueberries, blueberry extracts, and other special plant extracts. One capsule of Blue Science contains more pterostilbene than 500 cartons of blueberries. Pterostilbene is a compound found in blueberries that helps your body's cellular activities. Unlock the power of blueberries with Blue Science. Available at Walgreens and GNC.
Hey, let's give them something to talk about. We have some rainy stuff. It's supposed to go away, and then we're supposed to have sunshine Friday and Saturday, and temps around 71 degrees, which is looking pretty good.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
I hate to start off with sad news. I really hate to start off with sad news, but I have to tell you what, did you see in the news there? 300-pound statue of the Lorax was stolen from Dr. Seuss's widow's yard. I suspect the Grinch.
There's the news. Another action-filled adventure.
The Grinch who snuck into Dr. Seuss's backyard had to know it was there.
Somebody who's worked on the property, somebody who's familiar with the property over the last month.
Carl Romero says you couldn't see it from the street, a 2-foot bronze statue of the Lorax attached to a wood base that sat right here under the shadow of a 100-year-old Italian stone pine that served as an inspiration for another Dr. Seuss story, Horton Hears a Who.
So they brought it down here. You can see where there's... It's been disrupted, the soil here. They brought it over the fence. They dropped it right here.
Carl noticed the 300-pound statue was missing Monday morning. And these drag marks lead him to believe it was stolen after our rain Sunday. For Carl, breaking the news to Dr. Seuss's widow, Audrey Geisel, was heartbreaking.
She's very upset about it. We've had it for a long time. It's a beloved figure, and it's just the personal injury of somebody coming up on your property and taking something that doesn't belong to you.
The statue was created by Dr. Seuss's stepdaughter about 15 years ago. There are only two of them in the world, the other in Massachusetts. So whoever stole it is going to have a hard time selling it without getting caught.
It's part of the Dr. Seuss world. It's not part of your world.
Which is why Carl is making this deal. Return the statue or tell him where to find it right now, and he won't press charges.
But I tell you, if we find it in your garden, the police find it in your garden, we're going to get you, and we're going to prosecute. So this is your opportunity to give it back, man.
Or, to quote the Lorax, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not.
This is Talk is Cheap, the Friends and Neighbors Network, with Bill Benica.
Smoke & Moe's Barbecue is the barbecue you're going to love every time you put it in your mouth. Filthy Phil's Ribs, Sweet Carolina Pork Ribs, Barbecued Rib Combo, Barbecued Half Chicken, Barbecue Sampler, and Moe's Chipotle Lime Tacos. Just a few of the things that are just absolutely wonderful at Moe's Smokehouse Barbecue. Plus, of course, they have all the other great things. Like they got burgers, they got cheeseburgers, they got Moe Burgers, Carolina Burgers, Barbecue Chicken Breast and Carolina Chicken, California Chicken and Garden Burgers. Not to mention shredded pork, shredded chicken, shredded beef, tri-tip sandwiches. And they also have, of course, salads, too. They have a barbecue chopped chicken salad, Caesar salad, tri-tip salad, calypso salad, most Cobb salad, and a green salad. So you can eat one of each of those. And then don't forget the homemade sides. They have most homemade sides, the homemade potato chips, killer garlic fries, sweet potato fries, seasoned fries, beer battered onion rings, fried green tomatoes, Grandpa Tom's barbecue beans, pantry coleslaw, potato salad, three corn muffins with honey butter, garlic bread. And they also have a children's menu. And they also have dessert, too. So you cannot go wrong when you go to Moe's. Go to Moe's on the corner of Osos and Monterey. Go to Moe's on Pomeroy and Pismo Beach, and you'll be asking for Moe. Moe Barbecue, please.
Karen Scott Audiology, now at her new location, 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo next to the DMV. Dr. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast and the community for over 30 years. What's important to remember is that hearing loss can occur at any age, from newborns to your grandparents. Let's stop the stigma of having to wear hearing aids. With today's technology, new sleek hearing aids are available. Karen Scott carries Starkey, Phonic, Widex, just to name a few. They have the knowledge and the experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. They also offer clinical audiology as well as industrial screenings. Call her for your free consultation. Call 541-1790. When was the last time you had yours or your child's hearing checked? How about that teen that listens to that loud music or that's not doing so well in school? They could be suffering from hearing loss. Karen Scott Audiology. Call 541-1790 because hearing really matters.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Cinema for your soul. And by the way, it took me a long time, as you can tell, because it was like 10 weeks, I think. But anyway, finally, yesterday, Nancy and I went to see The Artist, and I highly recommend it. You know, it won all the Academy Awards and stuff, all that. But just it's very clever how they took a silent movie in this day and age, and they made it work so well. And you really would enjoy it. It's quite enjoyable. And it runs today and tomorrow, and that's it. Today and tomorrow, that's it. So you want to get in there and see. All right, let's do our birthdays and our day in history and all that stuff according to the Tribune today. Our flashback, our highlight in history on March 28th in 1942 during World War II, British naval forces staged a successful raid on the Nazi-occupied French port of Saint-Nazaire and occupied, in French, Operation Chariot, destroying the only dry dock on the Atlantic coast capable of repairing the German battleship Tirpitz. In 1834, the U.S. Senate voted to censure President Andrew Jackson for the removal of federal deposits from the Bank of the United States. 1898, the Supreme Court in the United States versus Wong Kim Ark ruled that a child born in the United States to Chinese immigrants was a U.S. citizen. In 1941, novelist and critic Virginia Woolf, 59, drowned herself near her home in Lewes, East Sussex, England. And in 1978, in Stump versus Sparkman, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld a 5-3 decision that of an Indiana judge against a law sought brought by a young woman who had been ordered sterilized by the judge when she was a teenager. And now we're going back to, we're getting back into that game again. Our birthdays today: singer Reba McEntire is 57. Rapper Salt of Salt and Pepper is 46. Actor Vince Vaughn is 42. Actress Julia Stiles is 31. And singer Lady Gaga is 26 today. So we'll say happy birthday to them. Happy birthday if it's your birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
CalCoastNews.com, your news station. Let me tell you what's going on here on KYNS 1340 and what's going on at CalCoastNews.com. Two Paso Robles City Council members have penned a viewpoint in the Tribune shoveling praise on fallen police chief Lisa Solomon, slamming county residents who have commented on her public behavior and sexual conduct and criticizing news reports for causing her downfall. Nick Gilman and John Hammond signed the commentary in which they said online rumors were the cause of Solomon's voluntary departure. Harmon said, Lisa's a trusted friend, and I will always support her. Gilman also said he supports and respects Solomon. The atmosphere caused by online attacks was making it extraordinarily difficult to Lisa, and I was being sympathetic. Gilman said, I have had and still have the utmost respect for Lisa and the way she ran the department. Council member comments fly in the face of accusations by numerous former and current police officers and department personnel about her on- and off-duty behavior. Both men said that they could see the toll of the rumors and mean-spirited attacks on her character, the majority of them from anonymous bloggers and other online sources were taking on her. They added that by accepting her resignation with regret, the council then unanimously voted to hand her a $250,000 walk-away package and not to challenge her recent disability benefits, finally slated to be allowed her to start receiving benefits before she turns 50. In addition, if her disability is approved, a portion of her retirement will no longer be taxable, increasing monthly payments. Now, these people that you hear about, because if you go to calcoastnews.com and then you can comment on whatever it is you read, you have to sign in, and you can comment. Every single comment following this story today, every single comment that's down there says, there has to be what, at least a dozen, maybe more, said, you're kidding.
You got to be kidding.
Are you kidding? Okay, you're kidding. All right. Other things going on. Other things that are happening. San Luis County's trial court has become the focus of the battle of whether to abandon a costly statewide case management system. And out of the project to install a California case management system, CCMS, resulted in criticism from judges questioning how the initial cost estimated swelled from $260 million in 2004 to $2 billion today. On Tuesday, while California judges on the Judicial Council deliberated on the IT system's fate, San Luis Obispo County Superior Judge Jeff Burke told Courthouse News the administrative office of the courts is wasting money trying to keep the project alive when it should be channeling all possible funds toward keeping courthouses open. The reason that they're closing these courthouses is because of the diversion of hundreds of millions of CCMSs. So they're basically saying it's not worth the cost at this point is what it comes down to. But that's after we've already probably spent a whole bunch of money on that and, you know, and had to deal with it. Who's ever calling me right now, I'm going to finish the news and then I'll get to you. Let me see. Now, here's a thing that's up for question right here. The Paso Robles School District is getting a double wave of... are you going to open on this thing? Well, maybe I'm going to get to the phone because for some reason I can't get it. Anyway, so there's some questions about how Paso Robles spent some money on a school district with FEMA funds. And so Paso Robles has people in Paso Robles are kind of going, what the heck is going on anyway?
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
All right, you're Bill Madigan, Talker, Chief, Friends and Neighbors Network, and somebody's on the line. Let's say hello to.
Oh, hi, Bill. It's
hi,
Pam.
Anne.
You know, regarding the Solomon thing, there's an op-ed in today's Trib by John Hammond and Nick Gilman. They serve on the city council.
I read it.
You know, when I read that, it kind of comes clear as to what the problem is. You know the old saying, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog?
Right.
You know, when you get elected to the city council, your responsibility is not to a person. It's to the office and to the city and the constituents. And if your friend of 26 years, you are hearing rumors of some problems or something, your job is not to stand with that person in solidarity and, you know, your job is to the city council and the city itself. And a lot of times that line is very hard to, you know, people cross that line because it's a small town and you know everybody and your friends and you know, it can be really hard. And that's one of the tough things that happens when you get to elected office, whether it's school board or city council or board of supervisors or something. Once you take that oath, you're in a different category.
Well, here's the problem. But here's what's Paso Robles couldn't have a worse situation than they have. It's like the tsunami thing. You have the city council that should, as a city council, go to the manager, Jim App, city manager, and say, Jim App, you need to investigate what's going on here. But then you read the emails between Jim App and Lisa Salmon. You go, we can't go to him. You know, he likes her too.
Right.
So then, and he's not going to admit any wrongdoing that she's done or even investigate it, although it's been investigated, but that's nobody's saying what came out of that. So then, if that doesn't work, then you go to your city attorney, But the city attorney's in the same boats. They're all in the same bucket going, you know, we think Lisa Solomon's just fine and we're not going to listen to any of this crap. So you have a system that allows no one to do the job they're supposed to do because they're not doing the job they're supposed to do.
Right. I mean, that's like a perfect storm. And again, that one of the reasons is that the people forgot that they become changed creatures once they take that oath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you remember that scene from Thomas Becket, you know, the wonderful movie, once he became Archbishop of Canterbury, he could not befriend the king, even though they had been close friends prior to that point.
At that point, they split. A man for all seasons.
No, that was another. Well, yeah, in a way, that was the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, once you take that oath of office, once you take the chain of the chancellorship, you are now an entity, not a person.
Well, the other thing too,
that's where you've got to get a dog if you want a friend.
But here's what's okay.
Here's
what's interesting to me about this, and we get back to the public versus the private sector, and I'll even go to the military sector of our world. You know, you attain rank in the military, and somebody that was your buddy now is working for you because you attained a higher rank.
Yep.
It doesn't mean you can't be friends exactly, but the person knows the military has drilled into you. That the person knows that, you know, he's been below you now in rank, and if you say jump, he says how high, and that's just the way it is. And even in the private sector, you know, you understand that if somebody gets and I'll take a radio station, program director leaves the radio station, so now is there somebody that's capable within the air staff to be the program director? General manager says, okay, you be the program director. Well, then all of a sudden you're in a different position than everybody else's. You have to take the blame for everything that happens. So your ability to be friends with everybody, it changes. You can be friendly, you know, you can have a good time, but, you know, you're ultimately responsible for what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the old joke of, you know, you put on your big boy pants and you become something different than what you were 5 minutes ago. And then the old joke is that's why you're getting paid the big bucks.
Yeah, I know.
Once you make that transition, your responsibility shifts not to your buddies. And that's what failed here in this case, and it often fails, is if you stay allied with your buddies. For example, if there were rumors around a police chief having a high old time in a bar dancing on a tabletop, you just know that's not going to end well, you know, because that means that's a signal to me that the police chief has not pulled on his or her big boy panties and is not in the proper role. They're still buddy buddies with their thin blue line buddies, you know.
And
you can't do that.
And or they become a antagonist to their own force, you know. If you have ticket quotas that she was accused of,
right.
If you have, you know, there's a lot in this story.
It's a fine line to walk, and it's a tough line, and that's why you get the big bucks, you know, and the ulcers and everything else that goes along with it.
It's really, I don't know, it's just, I just see so many problems Pastor Robles has, and the citizens are up in arms. I've talked to some Roblins, and life is not good up there right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame them. And every time you see these crash and burn crazy stuff, like the supervisors and the crossing of lines, that's almost at the heart of it. It's always that, is people were not able to make that transition to the new role. And then they get stuck in these old roles, and then it causes just a humongous mess. Oh, I was going to ask you, yesterday you were playing tapes from the radio station answering machine,
yes,
I guess.
Yeah.
Was that the Will Power, the same one that wrote the letter to the editor about moderation?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I saw him yesterday across the street on Alsosis Valley Road at Madonna, right at the corner there, holding a sign that said, boycott Spencer's boycott Benica, and he misspelled your name.
Okay, I know he boycotted Spencer's in
but he can't
Arroyo Grande.
Name right. So
okay.
I thought, oh, well, there you go.
Arroyo Grande, he also boycotted the Spencer's in Santa Maria. or not San Bernardino, but another place. And so here's the thing. So John Spencer called me this morning and said, Benica, what'd you do this time? I go, I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know this man totally dislikes the fact that I'm on the air at the time I'm on. This Will Powers used to call himself Santa Maria Bill.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know he's not happy with the fact that I am not a liberal, progressive, whatever I'm supposed to be that fits in with the old format of Air America, which is gone now, of course. It went kaput. And so this station has tried to balance what it can balance with trying to make a living, which he doesn't quite understand that.
I don't think it has anything to do with you at all.
Well, no, it doesn't at all. But yeah. So the weird thing is that what he should be doing is picketing the station or something, or to call the general manager and saying, I didn't like the decision. You took Mike Malloy off the air.
I don't think it has anything to do with the station either. Well, or Mike Malloy, or anybody else.
It doesn't have anything to do with me, that's for sure.
Totally moving target. It's like a jackdaw.
Boy.
You know, that just gets attracted to sparkly things, and then a minute later he's off on some other sparkly thing. But well, I kind of had to laugh because it reminded me of that wonderful character on Saturday Night Live, you know, Emily Latella, who'd always get things off.
Uh-huh.
And then she'd rant and rave about something, and then they'd have to remind her that it wasn't violins in the street, it was violence in the street was the topic. And then she'd say, oh, well, never mind.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure there'll be something else tomorrow.
There was already another message yesterday. I certainly would like it just to go away, and I hope it will, and I don't think it's going to. And so now there's a battle of the minds, his opinion of what freedom of speech is, and my contention that what he's doing is actually illegal because I'm a private company. And so therefore, you know, there's repercussions for that. But anyway, well.
But I'm sure he loves the attention.
Yeah, he's always liked it. If you stand outside of
you
stand outside of Costco with a bullhorn,
yeah,
screaming about the gas prices, I guess you do need attention.
Yeah, I guess, because it's just amazing. People just drive by and wave and keep going.
I'll start with this. You know, I don't want to get into a peeing contest with this guy. There's no point. But I'll say this: if you see somebody picketing someplace that has my name spelled wrong and the sponsor in the same place, please do me a favor and go up to them and say, I wasn't going to come here today, but because of this sign, I am.
Yeah. Go into Spencer's and buy some yummy.
Yeah, go buy some stuff and say thanks for keeping me informed.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Ann.
Okay.
I thank you, man.
Bye.
Take care. All right. Life goes on. All right. How come I'm going right from here to CBS News? Where's my in-between thing? Where's my, in-between thing? All right, let's not worry about that. The Trayvon Martin case, this has just gotten going on and on and on. Matter of fact, the political cartoon in today's Tribune is the Mount Rushmore presidents with hoodies on. And there was a very interesting article by a black man in the Tribune, a letter saying, this is absurd. If I put a hoodie on, do I have to worry about the people who have been my neighbors forever, just deciding to shoot me? Anyway, it's just, it's out of control. But I'll remind you, and we have to keep in focus something, and I'm you'll say, Bill, are you taking sides? I'm only taking sides in this. The 911 tapes that they played, there was a person screaming in the background who was identified as Trayvon Martin. And so if he was trying to, unlike what was said before, if he was trying to protect himself, a guy had already pulled a gun out and he was scared to death of what happened and was trying to defend himself, that's something altogether different, it would seem to me. But that's what would seem to me to be. So here's another story about that.
Martin case raising new questions and raising tensions even higher. New photos of Trayvon Martin tonight as an older teen. Some of the earlier pictures showed him as young as 11 years old. Also with the snapshots, a complex and nuanced picture is emerging of the 17-year-old who was shot dead exactly 1 month ago tonight by Neighborhood Watch Captain George Zimmerman. We're learning why he'd been suspended from school and was not in school the day he was shot. We're also learning more about George Zimmerman's version of what happened that night. For the first time, the story he told police is out, and a new eyewitness appears to back up at least part of it. Some or all of the above may explain why Sanford, Florida police did not arrest him and have not since. It also may signal how tough it could be to bring George Zimmerman to trial and get a conviction. I spoke today with Florida's lead prosecutor, Angela Corey, who warned against expecting too much too soon. She walked me through the process and the problems in coming to a decision about how to proceed.
The first decision will be, do we have everything we need? And if we do, we probably won't need a grand jury.
And you're hoping to make that decision, you think, within the next couple of days?
No. Hopefully by the end of the week after next. Or we need a couple of weeks to continue to do this. Remember, our burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt. That's an extremely high burden, especially in light of the Stand Your Ground law.
Well, adding to the pressure, though, there's this. A wanted poster offering $10,000 for the capture of George Zimmerman. A fringe group called the New Black Panther Party is behind it, against the wishes of the Martin family. Now, I spoke with a member of the group, a man called Minister Mikhail Muhammad. I spoke to him earlier tonight. You were asked this weekend if you were inciting violence, and you responded by saying an eye for an eye, a life for a life. Trayvon Martin's father today said, we don't believe in an eye for an eye. Aren't you directly going against the wishes of Trayvon Martin's family?
We love Trayvon's father, but we are military. We're here to support that family. We're here to make them do their job. We will support Trayvon's family, Anderson, but we are military. Every nation has a military. Every nation has a defense system. So we're going to support this family, but we want the United States government to do their job.
We'll have more from that interview shortly. That, among other things, leading Sanford Mayor Jeff Triplett today to compare his city to a tinderbox and a glass house. Tonight, people there marched through the streets, too many to fit inside the local civic center where a town hall meeting was held. As the meeting began, Sanford City Commissioner Mark McCarty, one of the ones who voted no confidence in Police Chief Bill Lee, he suffered chest pains and was taken to the hospital. People also rallying in at least 11 other cities today, from San Francisco to Philadelphia. Now, earlier today, emotions ran high as Trayvon's mother reacted sharply to the revelation about her son's suspension, after school officials found marijuana residue in his book bag.
The only comment that I have right now is that they've killed my son, and now they're trying to kill his reputation.
Well, the family attorney, Ben Crump, calling the story a distraction.
If he and his friends experimented with marijuana, that is still completely irrelevant to George Zimmerman killing their son.
Also today, the Orlando Sentinel reported, and the Sanford police later confirmed, a leaked account of George Zimmerman's version of the deadly encounter. He told police he lost sight of Trayvon Martin and was returning to his SUV when Trayvon Martin approached him. Then, he says, after exchanging words, Zimmerman says Martin punched him in the nose, knocking him down. On the ground, Zimmerman says the teen, who was 6'3", but only about 140 pounds, hit him repeatedly and slammed his head into the ground. Additionally, ABC News is reporting that Zimmerman told police that Martin tried to take his gun. Now, remember, Martin's family has an affidavit from a young woman who says she was talking on the phone with Trayvon Martin before he was shot. She reportedly says Trayvon Martin indicated Zimmerman was following him. Today, though, another apparent witness emerged, the first, who says he saw a scuffle between the two. He wants to be known only as John and spoke to a local affiliate, WOFL, Fox 35.
The guy on the bottom, who I believe had a red sweater on, was yelling to me, help, help. I told him to stop, and I was calling 911.
It was George Zimmerman who was wearing red. This is the first eyewitness who says he actually saw who yelled for help, and it was George Zimmerman. John says he locked his patio door, ran upstairs, and heard at least one gunshot.
And then when I got upstairs and looked down, the person that was on top beating up the other guy was the one laying in the grass, and I believe he was dead at that point.
So those are the headlines. But now we have a fuller picture of George Zimmerman's account of those moments.
Wow. Okay. Whoops, Benica. Whoops. All right. Everybody says, okay. Silent. Let me mention this, if I may. We have a welcome home, a hero. And he's coming in today at around 3:25. And so our welcome home military heroes people would like you to be there between 2:50 and 3 p.m. to sign the flag card. And hopefully this hasn't changed times, because I don't get that flash. But anyway, you can call to make sure that if you want to call and make sure that the time's right, you can call 441-0221 or 441-0262. And make sure this plane's going to come in on time, and this is the one it is. But anyway, it's supposed to arrive at 3:25. So you can, everybody signs a card, everybody gets in a line, all the people are there, And we welcome home our troops, so that's absolutely a Groovius Maximus. So hopefully you get a chance to do that. Let me tell you what's going on. Lionel Richie, you have to understand, was in his heyday, was the most popular singer ever. I mean, there's just nobody that compared to him at the time. And I've told this story, but I'll mention it again. When he sang at the Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles, when his concert was at the Mid-State Fair, the line of traffic, and I'm not exaggerating, went from the Mid-State Fair around Highway 101 down to Santa Rosa in San Luis Obispo. The traffic was backed up that far the night he sang at the Mid-State Fair for people trying to get to the concert. So anyhow, it was absolutely amazing. So then all of a sudden, he says, I made a lot of money. I'm going to go do my life. And off he went and did his life. And then he's decided to come back and do music again. But what he's decided to come back and do is not country music, is his old standards, but with country singers. So we have Endless Love featuring Shania Twain, Sail On featuring Tim McGraw, Easy featuring Willie Nelson, and All Night Long with Jimmy Buffett. And this is Endless Love featuring Shania Twain and Lionel Richie.
My love, there's only you in my life.
My endless love. And it says right here, you know, there's always been a southern touch to Lionel Richie's music. Kenny Rogers recognized this when he took Lady to the top of the charts in 1980. So did Conway Twitty, who covered Three Times a Lady. Richie himself even landed on the country charts in 1984 with Stuck on You. So I'll tell you what this album, I mean, and, you know, Lionel Richie's songs were so absolutely gorgeous. And so here's what we have on this album. Say You Say Me featuring Jason Aldean. Stuck on You featuring Darius Rucker. Deep River Woman featuring Little Big Town. My Love featuring Kenny Chesney. Dance on the Ceiling featuring Rascal Flatts. Hello featuring Jennifer Nettles. Sail On featuring Tim McGraw. Endless Love featuring Shania Twain, which you just heard. Just For You featuring Billy Currington. Lady featuring Kenny Rogers, which makes sense. Easy featuring Willie Nelson. And All Night Long featuring Jimmy Buffett. So that's what's going on with Lionel Richie in this new album called Tuskegee. Okay, we have to talk about this because this is muy importante, muy importante. We got to talk about Dodgers. We'll just play a little bit of this.
The pennants have been plenty since back in 1920. In 55, the Dodgers won it all.
And 88, too, right there.
With Camille and Freddie Fitz, Dixie and Leo.
All right, right there. The Magic's group has bid for the Dodgers and won as soon as it's approved by the end of April, and so the $2 billion. And now here's one of the things that's kind of interesting. If you look back, when Frank McCord bought the Dodgers in 2004, he paid $430 million, and this group is with Magic Johnson is paying $2 billion for the thing. If the deal closes, expected the Dodgers would be owned by an entity called Guggenheim Baseball Partners and run by Stan Kasten, the former president of Atlanta Braves and Washington Nationals. Stan Kasten is my man, Johnson told the L.A. Times announcing his bid last December. He's a winner. He's built two incredible organizations. The bulk of the funding to buy the Dodgers came from Guggenheim Partners, a Chicago-based financial services firm. Mark Walther, the firm's chief executive, participated in the ownership auction as well as in meetings with Major League Baseball owners, but he's not expected to play a significant role in the day-to-day operation of the Dodgers. Johnson, who would own a small stake in the Dodgers, as would Pete Guber, a veteran Hollywood executive and co-owner of the Golden State Warriors. Johnson and he are partners in the Daytona Dragons, a minor league baseball team. So it's it's all these people are involved in sports, why not? Anyway, well, that's I think people are really happy with that too. Now, but let me mention another thing in sports news. Cal Poly players showed their stuff to the NFL scouts yesterday, and they're hoping for good things. Cal Poly's Christina Santiago was named an All-American honorable mention by the Associated Press on Tuesday, and you know who's giving her the eyeball? The WNBA. They're looking her over and saying, maybe we need to get her on in there. Maybe we need to get her on in there. So that'd be fun. That'd be good for her. All right, so that's some of the sporty stuff going on. I thought I'd share that. Now, let me share with you. If you go to Spencer's Market, smile and wave, and then get some boneless, skinless chicken breasts for $1.79 a pound. Get some top sirloin steaks for $4.99 a pound. Harris Ranch Yummy Stuff. And Indoor Farmer's Market, we have local strawberries, two for $3 in the one-pound package. Local artichokes, two for a bone. We have all kinds of other good things. You like fruit rolls? How about three for a dollar? You like Anaheim chilies or mild, 2 pounds for a buck? How about sweet kiwi fruit, five for a dollar? I like little peewees. And they have all the other great things that are going on at Spencer's all the time. Service Deli and Bakery has great things. And don't forget, it's Wednesday, so you can go into the deli department at Spencer's on a Wednesday, and you can get yourself an eight-piece chicken bucket for $5. Eight-piece chicken bucket for $5. So there's all kinds of two versions. Two-day sale will be tomorrow and Friday. We'll tell you about that tomorrow and Friday. Anyway, so there's all kinds of great things going on at Spencer's for Easter, and they got all the Easter stuff you can get going on right now. And so go to Spencer's in five locations on the Central Coast, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Aurora, Grande, Santa Maria, and San Luis Obispo. And we thank John Spencer for being a sponsor and putting up with whatever.
Okay.
Thanks, John, for putting up with whatever. All right, other things happen in the news here with Bill. Thanks for joining me today. So I told you I saw The Tourist, and I liked it. Nancy liked it, too. Here's the term. I was talking to Jim D. this morning. The term we both used for the movie was charming. It really was charming. And the guy who was the lead actor that won the Academy Award, and the girl that was in it, that was the actress that won the Best Supporting Actress, I believe. They were both fantastically good. And John Goodman, by the way, who was an American in the thing, also did a great job. And Bill, I think his name was the chauffeur, is the guy that did the pig? He's done a lot of things since then, you know, but I can't think of his name. All right, doesn't matter, Bill. What you can't remember, you can't. Now, this is interesting. Santa Maria, of course, KCOY was basically shut down. And then they took the operation up to Salinas. And so, but here's an interesting thing. Here I thought for sure I could identify why some people might actually prefer the news coming from Salinas. Because at first, until last night, here I thought, okay, I think I know why. And the first part of the newscast I watched, and I said, okay, I know why. And then they screwed it up. Let me put it this way. There's less yippy-skippy between the two news people and the weathermen on KSBW out of Salinas. Now, I don't know if people like that as opposed to KSBY and everybody have a nice smile on. I don't know, but I just wonder. So they might have thought this may work because we'll have less yippy-skippy, but I don't know. Because all the Santa Maria broadcasters, you've seen two now, Santa Maria broadcasters who say, I listen to KSBY now or watch KSBY now. So I think that's kind of interesting. That's fares like crazy on the USS Intrepid in New York Harbor at Fort Hood. They're trying to get veterans jobs. You know, these guys are coming back in large numbers, and they have the highest unemployment rate of all. And they're trying to say to our vets, you know, okay, what can we do to help you out? You know, but you have to remember also, you know, I was watching Tom Brokaw the other night, and then I was watching one of the people on Today's show, and they were kind of talking about the same thing, but Tom Brokaw was a little bit better at sort of summing up how things were. When they quote Greatest Generation that fought in World War II returned, you know, there was homes to be built, cars to be built, there was, you know, nothing to do, everybody had gone to war for, you know, years. So there was all these stuff that now America needed, and America developed a technology, and it was the huge industrial boom, you know, post-World War II. And now these guys are coming back to a very different situation. You know, housing's in the tank, manufacturing's just barely starting to get picking up again and all that, so... What they're talking about with the vets is that they're willing, you know, they're willing to be trained, they're willing to, you know, put out the extra effort. That's what goes with going to war, I guess. And so they say they're very willing to be trained to do something that, you know, they haven't done before, and then they're very good at it. You know, they try their hardest to be the very best at doing it. So that's really cool, I think. If you help our vets, thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right, other things going on. Okay. Well, this certainly has ramifications for the Central Coast, and that is that San Onofre won't restart until the problems are solved, according to the NRC. Regulators blame rubbing for tube failures. Report from watchdog groups as plant owner misled officials. So, that's part and parcel to having a nuclear power plant. You're not supposed to tell the truth to anybody about anything that happens. As you can see with Fukushima, and you can see with Three Mile Island, anytime there's been a nuclear problem, same with the Russians, the same thing. It doesn't matter. You know, if something goes bad, you don't really say what's really wrong. You think they should, but apparently they don't. So, not surprising right there. Now, here was a headline here that cracked me up. I think it's another section of the paper I'll get to. All right. So I feel bad about the Lorax being swiped. You know, but it doesn't do anything. You know, you can be disgusted by it. When things like that happen, you can be disgusted by them. But that's as best as you can be. And teachers in Paso agree to furloughs. Union accepts 18 days off over 2 years to avoid a permanent 6% pay cut. So, you know, they're going to take some time off to try to help out, and they're still having grief in Paso every which way but sideways. And Aurora Grande, the homeless parking plan gets the okay for the church, and so they're saying they're going to try to do what they can there. The before a PAC Council chamber Tuesday night in Rio Grande. Jan Stone, a case manager for community health centers of the Central Coast, talked about one of her clients, someone who could benefit from a pilot parking program for people sleeping in vehicles. Client, a 56-year-old woman with bone cancer, has been living in her car since the apartment she managed was foreclosed, Stone said, and she said her client would be an ideal candidate for the program if given a chance. There's probably lots of people ideal. Anyway, St. Barnabas Episcopal Church. So some of the neighbors complained and said, you know, we don't really need this right here and all that. And actually, it's not appropriate. There's much more appropriate ways of going about where to have the homeless be, and, you know, not in the middle of people's neighborhoods and stuff. And the city of our Central Coast just has not quite grasped the concept of what should be done yet. This is one of those times when Santa Barbara's had such a successful program using municipal lots and things like that. It almost begs to be asked, which is, I've asked, you know, when I used to go to Santa Barbara for 10 years every week, I said, you know, they did this in Santa Barbara, and we could do that. But that, you know, me is talking. And so this is one of those times when I think we need to partner up with somebody and say, okay, let's send an envoy down to Santa Barbara, talk to the people that manage the homeless situation down there and the people in their cars, and ask them how they did, what they're doing, how it's working, what the problems are, what's good or bad about it. But, you know, they seem to have a better grasp on it than we do, for sure. So I always wonder about that. Like, you know, we'll think this through ourselves. Maybe not, maybe not. Supreme Court on the Affordable Care Act, healthcare mandate in peril. This was today's headline, although they're saying that it's sort of iffy. They're saying that they want to try to keep some of it in place if they can, if they think they can, and perhaps strike down other parts of it. But there was a number here about how much money we would get here in California, and it was in the billions or something. And if this whole thing passed and went through, it's going to be interesting to see. So this is going to affect us here on the Central Coast for sure. But not now. I mean, it's down the street. It's going to affect what we would have gotten. Other things going on in our world. Other things are happening. I usually can tell you, because I've been around for so long, you know, what it was that was done and why it was done, but it's not coming to me. Rob Rossi owns a Pacific Coast Center, Pacific Coast Center is where the guys crashed their car at 60 miles an hour into the building, which is where the Slow Symphony office was. And luckily, it didn't do a lot of damage to the building. And it's that corrugated affair that's at the corner of the intersection of Madonna Road and South Higuera. Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath used to be in there. And if you look at that building sometime when you're driving by, the very bottom part of the building is brick. There's like a little brick foundation. And that's because, I can't believe I can't remember. It'll come to me sometime. It was a building, a historic building that had been there. It was like a farm and feed and that kind of a business, and had been there forever in San Luis Obispo. So to sort of honor its memory, they kept a few feet of brick on the bottom of the thing. Somebody's on the line. Maybe they know, or maybe it's something else. We'll find out. Hello?
E.C. Loomis.
There you go. E.C. Loomis. That was it. Okay, thank you. E.C. Loomis. I was thinking Lemos, and I thought it wasn't that. E.C. Loomis, there you go. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, whoever you were. And so the bottom of it is bricks left over from that building, which is kind of interesting. I'm going to say that again. Kind of interesting, I think. It would have been kind of fun to save a wall and reinforce it, you know what I mean? But I'm not the one that comes with these things. I don't sit on these committees. Other things that are going on in the world. If you watch Dancing with the Stars or you care about it, Martina Navratilova was the first one bounced off. And boy, was she bad. She great on a tennis court, but, boy, that didn't equate to dancing whatsoever. Like some people that are athletic, they go on the dance floor, and they're quite impressive. She, stinko. Now, this, I have to tell you what, this woman's life, this woman is not right in the brain. And then she's got some damage or something. And then she found a doctor who was willing to be as weird as she was. And we're talking about Suleiman, the Octomom, Nadia Suleiman. And so, you know, so he helped conspire to make a woman who had no decision-making capabilities whatsoever make a bad one. So he helped her do that by having 8 kids along with the kids she already had. So she has no money. She doesn't, I mean, what is she going to do with all this? She's got 8 kids. She got all together? 12? She got all these kids to take care of. She's not married. She has no particular talent in the whole wide world. So of all things, she is going to appear semi-nude. I assume topless. And I could be wrong. Semi-nude in an English publication, and she said, well, I have to do it because I got no dough. Okay. Whatever. Actress Kate Winslet and director James Cameron walked the red carpet in London on Tuesday for the premiere of the 3D version of the movie Titanic, a 1997 drama. One of the highest-grossing films of all time will be available in British cinemas in 3D in April, coincide with the 100th anniversary of the Titanic's doomed maiden voyage. On April 1912. 3D enriches all of Titanic's most thrilling moments and its most emotional moments, Cameron told reporters. Winslet starred with Leonardo DiCaprio in the movie. She won an Academy Award for it. He got frozen and sunk to the bottom of the ocean. Nothing. He got nada. To this day, a lot of people are scratching their head going, how could she win this award and he not win an award? Best director, best picture, best cinematography, best everything in the whole wide world, except Leonardo DiCaprio wasn't the best. And it's kind of like, what? I don't get it. Anything's going on. Russia to Romney. We are in 2012. Medvedev has harsh words for Republican candidate while Obama defends his open microphone remark. U.S. politics combined with diplomacy as Russian President Dmitry Medvedev took a swipe at Mitt Romney and President Barack Obama, etc. Romney, in a CNN interview Monday, had referred to Russia as our number one geopolitical foe, prompting Medvedev to tell the reporters here that the former Massachusetts governor's language seemed out of date and smelled of Hollywood stereotypes. I don't believe they're our number one foe either right now. Okay. And then I said yesterday, what the president did and said to him, I don't have a problem with that. I have absolutely no problem with it whatsoever. I would hope in the whole wide world that our nation's leaders would converse and try to solve some of the problems that this world faces. Matter of fact, I believe that a lot of the world's problems are the fact that that doesn't happen when it should or more often. All right, state parks see a new ray of hope. They're basically saying that they're working feverishly to keep the parks open through negotiations with a variety of potential partners and donors. And this agreement's already in place. We'll keep 11 of the parks operating. And they're trying to figure out ways to save another 35. So they're, you know, we're not doing so well with Morro Bay at this point, I don't think. But maybe, I don't know, maybe something new has happened. But anyway, they're doing their darndest to try to say, okay, maybe we can pull this off. Not surprisingly, of course, you know, there are a lot of organizations that are getting together saying, well, we'd like to save the dang parks. And I think that's cool. Well, you know what's going to happen when all this is said and done? Then we're going to look back at some point and say, how big a parks department do we really need? Maybe. The millions of students who take the SAT or ACT each year will have to submit photos of themselves when they sign up for a college entrance exam under new security measures announced Tuesday in the aftermath of a cheating scandal on Long Island. Two companies that administer the tests, the College Board and the ACT Incorporated, agreed to the precautions under public pressure. It's because, you know what they do, they send somebody in to take the test that's, you know, 10 times smarter than you are, and you get a great score, everybody thinks you're great, and you're an idiot. So we're trying to prevent that. Well, this is a This is a heavy-duty story about an Afghan bombing plot that was thwarted. More than a dozen Afghan soldiers are arrested after 10 suicide vests are uncovered in the Defense Ministry. And so what we're basically looking at is they were going to probably be used, as far as they can tell, against the U.S. coalition. When the military we're trying to train is starting to say, okay, we've been trained enough, and now we want you out of here to the point that we're going to start killing you, I think some thought has to be given to the fact that what are you going to do now? Not sort of what are you going to do now, but really, where are we now? And if this occurrence keeps happening and it's happening more often, then you really have to ask yourself, what should we be doing at this point?
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Final day of Supreme Court hearings into the constitutional challenge to the president's sweeping health care overhaul. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg suggests part of it could be struck down and the rest sent back to Congress for repairs.
It's a choice between a wrecking operation or a salvage job.
So now we wait 93 days until June 28th, the likely last day of the current court term, the latest date we are likely to get a ruling from the justices. Between now and then, you can bet there will be plenty of back and forth between them on the drafting of the opinions and the dissents, whatever those turn out to be.
CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen. The heartbreak in Arkansas for the family of 4-year-old Caleb Lynn just gets worse the more you learn about it. The boy's body was found on a sandbar in the Spring River downstream from where he set out to catch some of the big kids who were helping clean up a Boy Scout camp. KFSM-TV reporter Heather Lewis.
Caleb's birthday is actually April 3rd, which is coming up. We're told that some family members already bought him birthday presents, so it's just really a tough day. He would have been 5 this coming week.
Another dire warning about the effects of a warming global climate.
The Nobel Prize-winning panel of scientists says climate change is leading to such severe storms, nations should prepare for an unprecedented onslaught of deadly and costly weather disasters. Their report forecasts more frequent heat waves, deluges, tropical cyclones, and droughts, and warns no corner of the globe is immune.
CBS's Pam Coulter says the report blames the scale of things on man-made climate change plus poverty and population movements. New report says most cancer can be eliminated today. We just have to change some of the things we do, starting with breaking the smoking habit.
The key is carrot and the stick. We need individual and community level encouragement.
Dr. Graham Colditz at Washington University says more than half of all cancers are preventable with today's knowledge. The pilot of a JetBlue plane, Clayton Osmond, now faces charges after being locked out of the cockpit by his co-pilot yesterday.
His wife, Connie, was interviewed by investigators, and she said that she had not observed any signs of abnormal behavior from her husband. The couple live in Georgia. Interviews conducted by FBI and other investigators indicate that Osborne has a great reputation and is highly regarded by his colleagues. He was also recently assisting in a pilot training program at JetBlue.
CBS's Pat Milton. You've maybe heard by now, no winner in last night's Mega Millions lottery, which means the big dreams are still in play.
I'd buy a house on a river. I don't have a car. I would buy a car. Sure, I'd buy a car.
Friday's drawing will be worth a new record number, something over $500 million. Wall Street, the Dow, down 71 points. NASDAQ off 15. Oil, $105.5 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Ryan Newman, driver of the number 39 Quicken Loan Chevy for Stuart Haas Racing. I've got a question for you. Want to be my boss? No, really, I'm serious. It can happen when you enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes. Win, and for one amazing race weekend, you'll be an honorary co-owner of the Stuart Haas Race Team. Enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes today at QLRacing.com. You'll get to hang with me, my other boss, Tony Stewart, and the whole crew. Pretty cool, huh? Oh, and get this. If you win, you'll also walk away with $10,000. Got your attention there, didn't I? So come on, what are you waiting for? Enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes today at QLRacing.com. That's QLRacing.com.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 4/30/12. For official rules and complete details, visit QLRacing.com. Sponsor, Quicken Loans Incorporated. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Another stand your ground shooting case goes to the robbery victim who shot a man who was swinging a bag full of stolen radios at him.
A Miami judge has ruled that a robbery victim was justified in chasing, then stabbing the man who stole his property. But rulings in stand your ground self-defense cases can often be difficult.
A lot of the time, you don't know who started it.
Former Orange County, Florida prosecutor Jeff Ashton.
You don't know who's using self-defense, or maybe they both are. And then that's the oddity of this circumstance.
Ashton says in both the Miami and Trayvon Martin cases, investigators only got one first-hand side of the story.
It has made prosecution of of violent crime cases more difficult.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
This year's Pillsbury Bake Off was won by Christina Varelli of Devon, Pennsylvania. Pumpkin ravioli with salted caramel whipped cream. She wins $1 million and $10,000 in GE kitchen appliances. Recipes for the finalists are on Pillsbury's website. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
State Farm Insurance.
Are you the one who bought my husband a Falcon?
Excuse me?
You saved my husband over $480 by switching to State Farm, and he bought a Falcon with it.
How awesome is that?
We can't control what our customers do with their savings.
Stop buying him frivolous things.
What do you want me to do?
Buy me frivolous things.
Save an average of $480 when you switch your auto policy to State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Nutritionists and scientists agree that blueberries have amazing antioxidant properties, but eating blueberries alone won't get you all the health benefits you need. That's why I created Blue Science, a revolutionary line of nutritional supplements combining the best of blueberries, blueberry extracts, and other special plant extracts. One capsule of Blue Science contains more pterostilbene than 500 cartons of blueberries. Pterostilbene is a compound found in blueberries that helps your body's cellular activities. Unlock the power of blueberries with Blue Science. Available at Walgreens and GNC.
Sail on down the line, about a half a mile or so, and I don't really want to know where you're going. Maybe once or twice, you see, time after time I tried to hold on to what we got, but now you're going. I don't mind about the things you're gonna say, Lord. I gave all my money and my time. I know it's a shame, but I'm giving you back your name. Yeah, yeah. Yes, I'll be on my way. I won't be back to stay. I guess I'll move along. I'm looking for a good time.
Sail on down the line. Funny how the time can go. Friends say they told me so, but it doesn't matter. It was plain to see that a small town boy like me just wasn't a cup of tea. I was wishful thinking.
Oh, yeah.
I gave you my heart and I tried to make you happy. You gave me nothing in return. You know it ain't so hard to say, but would you please just go away? Yeah, yeah. Throwing away the blues. I'm tired of being used. I want everyone to know I'm looking for a good. Good time.
The MRI system everyone has been waiting for is now at San Luis Diagnostic Center. Patients love it. No more claustrophobia. No more masks over your face. No more tight spaces. And imaging speed to get you in and out, faster than any other magnet made. Plus, doctors love its unsurpassed image quality. The Siemens Skyra produces images doctors only dreamed of before. When you need your next MRI, ask for the new, wide-open, ultra-high-field Siemens Skyra at San Luis Diagnostic Center. Even if you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Best image quality, the greatest patient comfort, and the lowest possible price. Why should you go anywhere else? When you need an MRI, call San Luis Diagnostic Center. 542-9700. That's 542-9700. To schedule your exam on the most modern equipment available.
Hey, Pops, what's with all this talk about the Drake?
It's so weird. Every time I turn around, somebody's talking about Drake.
Isn't Drake the duck?
Yeah.
Hey, what about Sir Francis Drake?
Famous English explorer and maritime navigator.
How about the Toto Drake?
Now you're talking. In my book, that's the best Drake of all. Toto's Drake toilets are ultra water saving, excellent flushing, have extra tall seats, and Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has them in stock at really great prices.
I know you love Toto toilets, Pops. That Drake sounds like a winner.
It flushes like a champ, it's easy to install, and it's made by Toto.
So folks should navigate their way down to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath and get one of those ducky Drake toilets?
Very clever.
That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, home of the Toto Drake toilet, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
It's cheap and it's free. That's the most important thing right there. Here, Bill Benneker, Talking Sheep, your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo, your news station. And I thank you for joining me today on this Wednesday. We're getting over the hump here. And like I said, Friday and Saturday are supposed to be really nice days. So this will clear up and everything will be fine. Then it's going to get cold. I mean, cold again. You know, that crazy cold that we don't want anymore because we don't want to. Let me tell you what's going on with Charter, because I got some great things going on. They got Charter has an all-in customer guarantee, which is a new deal. Number one, the 30-day money-back guarantee. If you aren't satisfied with any service for any reason in the first 30 days, they'll give you your money back hassle-free. Number two, the service experience guarantee. If your technician arrives late or misses a scheduled appointment, Charter is more happy to give you is more than happy to give you a $20 credit. Same goes if the technician is unable to complete your scheduled service in one visit or kicks the cat. Number three, the reliability guarantee. Charter knows how important reliability is to its customers, so if you're without service for more than 24 hours, you can get a $20 credit. All you have to do is ask. The product promises Charter continues to innovate. They'll provide additional functionally. Oh, I got. Let me do it again because that's a tough word. I hadn't read it before. As Charter continues to innovate, they'll provide additional functionality and service enhancements you haven't even imagined yet. For gosh sakes, Charter never stops bringing you more value. Charter's all-in customer guarantee is an industry-leading commitment, making meaningful changes to improve the quality and consistency of its customers' overall experience. Charter is going all-in. To learn more, visit charter.com/guarantee for restrictions and complete details. Chada. It's Mada. All right, got that. One more time, let me remind you about we have our Welcome Home G.I. Joe, and he's coming in today at 3:25. Please be at the airport about between 2:50 and 3 p.m. It's a sign, the flag, and the card, and everybody can be there and bring a friend. And this guy's been on 5 tours of duty. All right, and if there's any questions you have and you want to make sure it's the right time, call 441-0221. That's 441-0221. And ask Cheryl, is this the right time? Because Benica sometimes doesn't get the follow-up email. Through no fault of my own, I would say. But I could be wrong with that. All right, other things happening. Other things going on. We have a story here. Things in Syria are really terrible. And so Iraq is claiming, this is Iraq that we just helped, not Iran, Iraq. Wait, we got a phone call first. We'll get back to that. We'll just delay that, and we'll get back to it. Somebody's on the phone. They want to talk. Hello?
I started dialing before you started into that. Sorry. We live in a crazy world.
Have you noticed?
You know, I've shared with you that I exchange emails with a couple of guys that are rabid leftists.
Hello? Okay, this is getting spooky now.
Wait a minute, I had to shut the radio off.
Oh, I got you.
And they haven't got the word about Trayvon Martin. They've got the screwball idea that the guy just shot some kid. I've noticed also on TV, on NBC, the picture they show of Trayvon is when he was 13.
By the way, I'm glad that came up because I have to tell you the truth. I kept saying to Nancy, how did a little guy like that do anything to anybody? You know, even if he did attack him. You know, I mean, how could he hurt him?
He was 6'3".
Yeah, okay. Now, here's the thing, 145 pounds. But here's the point. They just brought up something today that had never been brought up before with this witness what's the name of the other guy? Martinez. They just brought this up. And everybody up in heretofore has said that this person you heard yelling was Trayvon. And now this ear witness, or I guess is an eyewitness. I guess
eyewitness.
Okay. Said that's not the case. That's not who was doing the yelling.
The guy that was doing the yelling was the guy that was on his back on the ground getting his head banged into the ground.
Well, here's where we are now. I'm not even going to comment on this case anymore until it's resolved, because here's what we have that's really weird. We have a guy that gets out of a van to follow this young man, and he was told not to do it by the 911 operator. They said, we don't want you to do that, and he did it anyway. So he's created a bad situation. Apparently for himself.
Yeah, he put himself in a bad situation.
Yeah,
so, he was the neighborhood watch captain.
I know he was, but, you know, the police, if you're a neighborhood watch captain and you're in contact with the cops, which of course you are, because neighborhood watch people work with the cops, and the cops say, don't follow the man, don't do anything, just thanks for telling us, because that's what your job is, neighborhood watch. Well, then he apparently followed him in the van and got out of the van. So
because he was walking back to the van when the guy jumped him.
Whatever. But here's this whole crazy, what it comes down to is, and you know, and I mentioned, you know, I'm not an NRA member, but I certainly have had guns and have guns, and you know, I respect them and I enjoy shooting them and all that kind of stuff. But I have to admit, this law in Florida is a little bit weird. It's a little strange. If you feel threatened by somebody, you can just take them out. Let's forget this case right for the moment. You feel threatened by somebody and
stand your ground law.
Stand your ground. Who determines the legality of whether or not you were threatened? Now, because there's people out there that feel threatened by everything. They're called paranoias.
Yeah, we know one.
Yeah, we know one. So, I mean, what do you do? This guy says, well,
I don't think this particular case needed that law. If you're on your back on the ground and the guy is banging your head on the ground, it's a lucky thing for Zimmerman that it was in the grass, not on the sidewalk. He'd probably be dead.
But here's something we don't know. Here's something we don't know. It's been said. This was his account. I mean, so again, this is just hearsay stuff. So we got to wait. I'm going to wait till I find out. He said that he was attacked from the back as he was headed back to his van.
Yeah.
The other possibility is, of course, is that he had pulled his gun and this kid, basically trying to keep him getting killed, punched him in the nose and pounced on him and got shot anyway. Nobody knows at this point what this real story is, so I really mean it. I'm pulling out all the stops and saying, okay, I'm staying in the middle of this thing till we find out more.
Well, the first question that enters my mind is if he had his gun out, it would have been pretty difficult for Trayvon to knock him to the ground and be banging his head on the ground.
Well, or, I mean, look at all the scenarios you can have, Gary. He could have been reaching for a gun, and the kid saw it just coming out of his jacket or something and said, boo, and bopped him in the nose, you know, and then that fight ensued. We just don't know. And so, you know, you can understand. I don't understand the the anger and the angst that all these people have of going, you know, once again, you got a black kid, and you got Geraldo Rivera saying it's because he had a hoodie, which I'm wearing today, by the way.
Yeah, Geraldo ain't my favorite
guy. So, you know, that wasn't useful whatsoever. So, you know, there's just It's just one of those things where you get a black kid shot by a white guy. Well, he's a half-white guy. But you get a black kid shot again, and there's a lot of questions about how it all went down. And that's really what it's about. I don't think it has to do with people that are real liberal or people real conservative about how this worked. I think it's just one of these unfortunate, terrible things that happened, and we need to find out what the heck it is.
Zimmerman is white and Hispanic.
Yeah, white and Hispanic.
Yeah. It's a tragedy.
It doesn't,
no question about that.
It doesn't have to be
and
a hate crime.
And I heard one report that I am unable to confirm to my own satisfaction, so I'm not going to, so I won't mention it.
go ahead.
Well, one reporter said that the kid had a big screwdriver in his pocket. And if that is the case, that is a known weapon of choice for thugs, muggers. Why would you be walking around with a huge screwdriver in your pocket?
I have no idea. But I don't know if that's confirmed or not.
It's a tragic situation.
Yes, and, it is. You know, and you
when
know
you
what,
look at it,
this
it's
I don't think
two families.
This may well. I mean, and you know, everybody jumps on race thing right away and says it's race. You know, it may not have anything to do with race whatsoever. It may have a guy, an overenthusiastic neighborhood watch captain guy, who didn't do what the cops told him to do and thought, well, I'm just going to go look at this myself and find out what's going on.
See what he's
and,
doing.
Yeah, whatever ensued after that ensued, and hopefully we'll all find out. But, you know, I don't think we need to have Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and every person that's always involved in everything if there's a black person say it was a racial thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's no proof whatsoever that had anything to do with it.
There's good indication it had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, actually, you're right. It didn't. I mean, he didn't call the kid. He didn't. You know, nobody said he's used a derogatory term or anything like that. So
what has that got to do with anything? Of course, the world is such a mixed up world. If you disagree with any administration policy, it means you're a racist. What? Wait a minute. So suggesting that people should be asked to show ID to vote is racist? What? How?
That by itself, I've after reading all about this now and observing and stuff and going to different websites and stuff, this is a tempest in a teapot. This whole thing about registering people and the idea of requiring it, I think I don't see any point to it. I don't think that the people that are illegal aliens are not storming the polling places, putting down saying I'm so and so when I'm not. I just don't see that at all. The people that are here illegally pretty much hide in the shadows, so to speak.
Congresswoman Laura Sanchez in Orange County. She holds seminars on how to register and vote when you're an illegal alien.
Okay, here's the thing. Well, if it's legal, is it legal to register and vote if you're an illegal alien?
Hell no.
Okay, so here's the deal. Okay, here's the deal. I don't take sides with this. I sort of see both sides because I've even said I find it weird that I can go to a polling place and say, I'm Bill Benica, and here's my address, and they go, oh, okay, fine, and I don't show them anything. And I just go in and vote. I find that a little bit weird.
Yeah. Not only that, but they put a list of names you could choose from out in front and cross off periodically ones that have voted. So you don't have to risk trying to vote a name that's already been voted. You ever notice that?
No, I don't.
A list of the people that voted at that precinct. Up front, and whenever they get a chance, or when periodically they go out and cross off names of people that are voted.
I've never paid attention. I just shuffle in and do my voting, shuffle back out.
Yeah.
So I know. I think it's
an insane world.
We're also making so much out of so many things that I think if we just calm the hell down, we'd be fine. That's my opinion. Just relax. It's all not worth getting excited about.
There was a thing on the news this morning about words that can't be used in New York City schools now. You can't mention birthdays because who are those people that knock on doorbells all the time?
Oh, the Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, they don't believe in celebrating birthdays, so you can't mention birthdays. You can't mention slavery.
Or there's what? They, well, no, they don't do.
How are we going to learn from your prior mistakes if you don't mention that it even ever happened?
Well, I've learned. I mean, here's the thing. So they don't do birthdays. They don't do Christmas. They don't do Easter. They don't do all kinds of stuff. And so I've.
They do make a pain in the neck of themselves.
Well, okay, but I've learned along the way. You know, there was a person that I have a business that is one of my sponsors, but I'm not going to say who it is out loud today. sponsor that I have, and the young lady that I have to see, you know, make sure everything's okay and say, hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And I, what have I done in the past where I finally realized that she was, I would stop by at Christmas time and say, have a Merry Christmas. And she'd say, I don't celebrate Christmas. So after having done that twice, and she was very pleasant, but said, I don't celebrate Christmas. Then it finally dawned on me, okay, now I have an idea what's going on here. So make sure this year you don't say it again. So
yeah.
I made sure I didn't say it again. See, here we get into, and this again is where we've lost our minds, in my opinion. I don't understand this. If you're not, if I say to someone who's not a Latter-day Saint, if I say happy birthday or we celebrate their birthday, the person doesn't have to be involved in that. This is what I don't get.
Yeah.
If you're not involved in it, then don't be involved in it. You have it doesn't affect you in any way. It doesn't do anything to you. They're not insulting your religion. Your religion is your own religion. I don't care if you're Catholic, a Protestant, what you are. Your religion is yours. And so that's the way I think it should be viewed. And so this idea of saying, well, you know, this person may not like that or this person may not like that. Excuse me. What is this prima donna crap? It's not a matter of whether they like it or not. They don't have to participate.
Yeah, they don't have to. What? Then they shouldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean,
easy. I have a Jewish friend that doesn't mind wishing people a Merry Christmas.
Sure.
Because he wants you to have a Merry Christmas. Yeah. He doesn't happen to believe Jesus is the risen Savior.
Well, but you know what? I mean, people that I know that are Jewish, I always say Happy Hanukkah. It's like, fine. What is that, a problem? And you're right. You're right.
You're not qualified to mention Hanukkah.
Most Jewish people know, because that's not true, because when I was in boot camp, I actually went into Jewish services.
Really?
Yeah, because there was
What are you trying to get out of?
Everything. There was only
anything you could.
There was only three of us, and we got to go off base to a private synagogue. And we could smoke as much as we wanted. There was girls. We had the little service, was very pleasant, you know, I thought, and I was learning Shabbat Shalom and all these things. And then I even learned to sing some Jewish hymns, and then, or what do they call them? And then at the end, they'd give you a bologna sandwich and some wine and stuff.
How cool.
Oh, I hit pay dirt. And the reason was my best buddy in boot camp was Jewish, Chip Kurtzman. I said, Benica, go tell the CO that you want to be Jewish. Because they can't say no. You can be whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
Of course, try to remember boot camp as you knew it as a Marine.
Oh, man.
Now, okay. Now, mine, I'll always admit that probably Navy boot camp wasn't as bad, but we had the worst of the worst you could possibly have. So he wasn't much fun. And then you're saying to yourself, you mean to tell me you want me to go in there and tell that guy something, anything? I don't want to knock on his door. I don't want him to know who I am, you know. But I finally figured out, a heck with it, go ahead and do it. So we did it. And the weird, you know how the movie Full Metal Jacket, where they have the scene in the beginning of the boot camp thing, and the guy's the screw-up?
Yeah.
Well, this is what's weird. So the three Jewish guys in the division then became Bill Benica, Chip Kurtzman, and Harold. I can't remember his last name, Harold. And he was the guy that was the screw-up in the company. So, and he was in my squad. It was one of those things where you had to try to take care of the guy and try to get him through it, and all one of those kind of things. It was really kind of funny. But the Full Metal Jacket thing, my wife is like, well, if I was in the service, I wouldn't let him talk to me like that.
That's
not how it works.
I've had guys say to me, that asked me what Marine Corps boot camp was like because they were, you know, going. And I would just, I finally learned to do what the older Marines had done with me, and that is just to say, just keep your mouth shut and your ears open, kid, you know.
And they can't, and they're not going to, and I used to say to myself, well, they're not going to kill me and eat me, so what can happen?
Yeah, I do understand what they're trying to do. They're stripping you of your personal identity and to replace it with a group identity.
Yeah.
And they're very good at it.
Yeah, they're very good at it.
Gee.
Although, I have to say something kind of weird. the Marine Corps is better at it because the Marine Corps, because the whole attitude about the Marine Corps, and I can't speak of all the different services, how they work, but I observed the Marine Corps because we had Marines on the carrier I was on. And so the Marine Corps, that esprit de corps, that, what do I want to say, the...
belief in being the best?
Well, that and the strictness. The strictness is always part of your MO there and the way things are done. So the guys on the carrier, the Marines, they were the most presbyterian guys you've ever seen.
Well, those guys are sea school grads. Those are the most spit-shine guys in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, but here's what's
weird. Chosen for that.
The Navy guys, you get out in the fleet, you know, and you just become an old swabby, you know.
Yeah.
Cigarette hanging out of your mouth, you know, one behind your ear.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm out in the fleet now. What the hell?
You know, I actually visited recruiters from the Army, Navy, and the Air Force, and the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And the Army guy, I walk into his office, and he's sitting there reading the sports page, got his feet up on the desk. And says, "What can I do for you?" And I says, "Well, I was thinking about maybe I might enlist in the military, you know, or something like that." And he says, "Let me see your papers." I says, "Well, what papers?" He says, "Well, your draft papers." "Well, I ain't got any draft papers." And he puts down the paper and swings around, and he's, all of a sudden he's interested, you know.
I guess.
Yeah, I got the message. Frankly, the Navy guy liked me too much, too fast. I'm sorry. I know how Marines are always joking about that with the Navy, but that guy just likes me too much.
That's funny.
The Air Force guy, I was convinced, was lying to me, telling me all about two-man rooms and, you know, decent conditions and yada, yada, yada. And you know what I found out?
Yeah.
That's all true.
That was true.
I got put in transient barracks one time at Travis, and the other guy and I that were just passing through, you know, went back down to the desk and said, "No, we're not officers."
That's funny.
He starts laughing at it.
Now, I have to tell you truthfully, I mean, I went in the Navy saying to myself, okay, well, the worst that could happen is I end up at a carrier and sit for 6 months in the South China Sea. You know, and I wasn't...
Oh, that's not the worst thing.
Well, no, I didn't know. I thought, that's the worst that could happen to you, Bill. Well, I didn't know anything about river boats and all that stuff. I was just, I was an idiot and just said, okay, this is fine. And aircraft carrier duty, while was very strict in its own way, not like the Marine Corps, but it was very strict. You did have to always kind of be shipshape.
Naval tradition.
Yeah, but while it was very strict, it was still, you could have fun doing it, and it was the, you know, talk about, it was like being on a cruise ship, you know. The thing didn't rock and roll and throw yourself all over the thing. I got on that little ship with 75 guys. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
Yeah, the bigger the better if you're going to be in a ship.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's
absolutely
interesting. It's interesting.
Hey, I walked into the Marine recruiter,
mm-hmm.
and Staff Sergeant Jones. He looks me up, makes a point of looking me up and down. You know, I walk in and say the same thing. I was thinking maybe I'd go and join up or something, you know. He makes a point of looking me up and down and says, "What makes you think you could be a Marine?" And talk about turning the table. I said, "Hey, man, I could do it." And at which point he set the hook and started reeling me in.
Do you know that at the recruiting offices here in San Luis Obispo, I think I see Army guys. I don't think it's the Marine Corps. I think it's the Army guys. They have these kids that have already signed up.
Working them out.
Yeah, they're working them out.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Marines do that, too. Marine recruiters do that, too.
These kids may not know it, but they're being done a favor.
Oh, yeah, they're preparing him.
Oh, because they're about to have the work out of their life, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so if I had had any idea, I would have put the cigarettes down maybe every now and then.
Oh, man, if I'd had any idea, I would have practiced my push-ups for sure, because I was going to need those.
All right, Gare. We're going to join, after we hear from a Round Table Pizza, we're going to hear from Lionel Richie again. I have to tell you, I'm loving this Lionel Richie stuff.
Oh, I'm so glad to have him back.
Well, his music was so great, though. And to have him be with other people is cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
You will.
Bye.
Hi, this is Saeed, Cal Poly graduate and owner of Round Table Pizza Restaurant here on Central Coast. My family and I have been serving your family at all 7 Central Coast Round Table restaurants for over 30 years. We will continue serving you the finest quality food available at all of our Round Table restaurants, just like the fine quality service we get from Radio Central Coast. We have been advertising on all of Radio Central Coast stations, including The Beach, KPIC, K1NS, and Wild 106. If it works for us, it can work for your business too. If you want good quality food and a family atmosphere, eat at your locally owned Roundtable Pizza restaurant. If you want your business to grow, call Radio Central Coast. They serve up a winning recipe just like we do. Roundtable and Radio Central Coast, a good combination. From my family to yours, thank you for eating at Roundtable, the last honest pizza.
Know it sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. Hell, I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. See, I begged, stole, and I borrowed. Yeah. So I'm easy, I'm easy like Sunday morning, yeah, that's why I'm easy, so easy, I'm easy like Sunday morning.
Anybody wanna put chains on me? Pay my dues to make it. Everybody wants me to be what they want me to be. But I'm not happy when I try to fake it. That's why I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning.
That's why I'm easy. So easy.
That's why I'm easy like Sunday morning. Gonna be high, so high. I wanna be free to know the things I do are right.
I wanna be free, just me, oh baby. Play it right here for me.
Easy like Sunday morning.
Whoa. That's why I'm easy. So easy. Yes, I'm easy like Sunday morning.
That's why I'm easy.
How fun is that?
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
That's great.
I like it right there. Willie Nelson and Lionel Richie. The name of the album, this new album, is called Tuskegee by Lionel Richie. All right, well, so there was something else on my mind I want to tell you. Right out of the chute there.
Run out of the chute. Somebody called, and thank you for correcting me. I really appreciate it when I screw up and you call and say, Bill, this is what it was. Because, I think it's 52 or 54 religions recognized by the Internal Revenue Service, therefore by the United States government. And so I can get them confused. There are Jehovah's Witnesses that come and ask if you want to buy Awaken, or you want to have a copy of Awaken Watchtower, if I'm right about the names, and not the Latter-day Saints, Jehovah's Witnesses. I used to visit someone who was homebound that was a listener to the radio station, and she was just the cutest thing in the whole world. And she was a Jehovah's Witness. So she, I'd visit, I'd bring her some barbecue, some coffee, that kind of stuff. She and her sister, and they both passed away. And she'd say, "Would you take these?" And I'd say, "I'll take them. I'm not going to promise you I'll read them. I'll put them in my trunk." She was okay. I put them in the trunk. And then the next time I'd see her, she'd say, "Will you put these in your trunk?" She was such a cutie. Irene, I miss you. I forgot. I pushed the. If I don't take that button, I'm screwed. If you were trying to call in and I screwed up, I apologize. I have to remember after phone call, I have to press that button back the other way. There's a button. There's buttons. Red buttons. Okay, here we go. Right there. Somebody's on the phone right now going, "Benica, I'm trying to get through and nothing's happening." All right, hello?
Hello, Mr. Bill.
Hi, Steve. How are you, sir?
This is the wrong Steve.
I know which Steve it is.
I couldn't disagree more with your previous caller.
About?
I think it's very important to understand that we have a systemic problem in this country with racism. It goes deep into the heart of everything that we've got going on right now in our political and social experience. I gotta turn this radio off. It's back feeding. Hold on a second.
All right. Sure. Go ahead.
I apologize.
I agree with you. I think we do have a huge racial problem.
Did you read in the editorial page yesterday a comment to the editor from Christine Ahern?
Yes, I saw it.
Full disclosure, that's my wife. The letter was a lot longer to begin with and had a lot more impact, I thought, before it had to be reduced to be able to fit on the page. But we do have a real problem, and if you look at how this whole case is stacked up, whether or not you look at who's talking about it. The issue was that this kid sat in the morgue for 3 days. There was no investigation done for several weeks. In the incident, this guy walked around scot-free with no charges, nothing happening on it. It's only afterwards, after the thing was brought into the light, that incrementally all these little details started popping up, the accuracy of these things. And if you just look at the numbers, the people that are being killed in this country, whether it's that professor in New York or being arrested, or categorically down the line, we have a serious problem with what's going on with and perception with race. They're trying to point everything back at the administration. This case had nothing to do with what's going on with the administration, but the previous caller automatically said that the administration was responsible for turning the thing into a racial issue. And and Sharpton and all these other people. These are advocates out there that are understand what's going on in this country and how we really need to. You know, we can't keep sweeping things under the rug. We have to keep it up, in the forefront of what's really going on in this country. We haven't got over the Civil War. We haven't got over the civil rights actions of the 1960s. You know, these things are deeply entrenched.
One of my favorite, by the way, one of my favorite columnists is Leonard Pitts. I really, he tries to keep the focus on the fact of how is Black America doing in the forefront. And I would imagine there's people that really I've read letters of people say, why don't you get rid of Leonard Pitts? What's his problem? And it's kind of like, we're the problem. He's trying to say, here's why you are the problem. Here's what you're not dealing with. I just don't know. Here's what I don't know, Steve. And that's why I'm going to say, I'm going to kind of stay out of this argument about this whole case until something and someone comes forth and says something that you can, hang your hat on.
And that's been the whole issue all the way down the line, is that, this thing was being swept under the rug.
Well, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. In Florida, with this law they have in Florida, they all get swept under the rug. And here I was watching this fascinating discussion on TV today. It was on CNN or MSNBC, and they were talking about the fact that this is the huge problem with this law, is it makes it so confusing to have the faintest idea what people's motivations are.
And why do we have laws like that?
I don't get that. I don't get this law.
It's because we have the Supreme Court bringing down decisions that says we have unlimited campaign contributions. The NRA has the ability to control Congress like no other lobbyist group out there. Anytime any of these states have any of these kind of bills in front of them, there is a huge uptick in sales on guns and ammunition, and this is very, and they have to keep moving further and further and further to the right to keep this whole issue ginned up, to generate more hate, distrust, and fear in this country.
I won't disagree. I think there's a fear-monger machine that actually operates and says, okay, you need to be afraid all the time, that you actually need to be afraid all the time. I think that truly exists, and there's people that, are parties to it, and I think it's really unfortunate. An interesting observation I'm going to make, and I wasn't there myself, but the person, I was asked to be there, but I couldn't, so somebody else took my place. And this was quite a few years ago at the Men's Colony, and there was a talent show, and they wanted an MC. And so they asked me if I'd do it, and I was already had an obligation. So one of the other people from the radio station, I said, okay, I'll go do it. I said, okay. And so when he came back, I said, well, what was it like? He says, the most insane thing I've ever seen. I go, in what way? He goes, there's like three major parties of prisoners. There's whites, blacks, and Hispanics. And they all hang together, all of them. They may be separate, entities within those entities, but they all stick together. And he said when a white performer performed, the other two segments would turn their back. When a Hispanic performer performed, the other two segments would turn their back. And when the black performer. So, I'm not going to discount the idea that the man that shot this guy could have been racist, because if somebody says, well, he was Hispanic and white, that's not an answer to me. That doesn't say, well, that he's not racist, and that was his motivation. I don't know what, but I can also see where, this is what I'm trying to say, Steve, to try to get away from all this angst that we have between people back and forth, and, is it black, is it Hispanic, is it, what is this? I'm trying to see if there's a possibility of interjecting this idea that maybe this guy was just an overzealous, neighborhood watch guy, and obviously not bright enough to do what the cops told him when they said, don't follow the guy, we'll take care of it. And then this guy decided he had to get out of his car and investigate because he thought, well, I'm a tough guy, I can do this. But
that may be all it is. But the problem is that, this would have totally disappeared, and there would have been no emphasis on the fact that, you know, here's this guy with repeated phone calls calling in regarding, the majority of his calls were complaining about the, the black people are cruising in the neighborhoods or and they always get away, there are a lot of things that are on the physical tapes, recordings of the 911 calls that he's made in, repeatedly over the past years that are evidence of the fact that, the majority of the calls are all about the fact that this man is suspicious because he's black. And that's a tell there. And whether or not that's exactly the way it happened or not deserves a lot of scrutiny. But the problem is that, nothing was happened. There was no forensic evidence taken. If he had a bloody nose, if he had any kind of damage, there was no pictures, there was nothing done, for him or anybody else. There was no testing done on the guy that did the shooting. Nothing was done that, no serious questioning, nothing was done to impact him as, verifying his story.
But you were right.
All the drug testing, suspicion of guilt was put upon, the kid who was lying dead on the ground.
The thing is,
and that in this country is typical of the way the police and the justice system works in this country.
Okay, but you were right when you said...
And that's what they're trying to point out in terms of people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, the people that are saying, we have not left the Civil War behind. We have not left the, civil rights issue behind. We have a president in this country who is black, but have we given him the consideration of addressing him as Mr. President? No. And that is systemic to the power in this country, the true power, which is the money that is controlling politics and everything else going on in this country. And until we start realizing that and addressing that, nothing's going to change. And we're still going to have this hatred. We're still going to have this separation between whites and blacks. We're still going to have people dying without just cause.
What is the answer to that?
Get rid of the money in politics, number one. Take away the power of big corporations and lobbyists, such as like the NRA and the large corporations of Wall Street and big oil, and say, you have the right to run and conduct your business as you think it needs to be done, but you cannot own senators, congressmen, and governors and presidents on a national and statewide basis.
I will agree with you, and I normally don't cut you off, but I've run out of time. So I appreciate your thoughts, and I thank you for your call, Steve, and we'll talk again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for being a friend. Thank you. And we'll get together again tomorrow at noon o'clock with Bill Back and Talk is Cheap. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails.
and have some fun. Throw away the work to be done. Let the music play on, play on, play on, play on. Everybody sing, everybody dance. Lose yourself in wild romance. We're going to party, carambo, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing along. We're going to party, carambo, fiesta, forever. Come on, come on and sing along. Right. Heart, feel it in your soul, and let the music.